Amen. All right, so we're at lesson three of the study of the Trinity. Now, to recap, if you remember, lesson one, we looked how the Bible defined the Trinity, and we saw that it was called the Godhead, and it consisted of Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And we saw that these three are one. That's what we saw. And in lesson two, we further described the Trinity throughout the Bible, and we saw that the words God, Lord, and Spirit, and how in the New Testament, God relates to the Father, Lord relates to the Word, and Spirit relates to the Holy Ghost, you remember. And then further on, the image of God compared to the image of man, we saw body, soul, and spirit. And we saw that that spirit would be the Holy Ghost, and we saw that the soul would be God the Father, and that the Word, the Lord, takes on the body of God. And we remember the reference, for the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily in Him, in Jesus Christ. And so now we've come up, if you'll remember, the last passage we looked at in lesson two was Jacob wrestling with a man. And this man was said to be God. It was said to be God. It was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And so what we see now is we're studying this Godhead in its fullness, which is found in none other than Jesus Christ. And He's God manifest in the flesh. And we saw that this was a great mystery, according to Paul the Apostle. It's a great mystery. And although we've got some clarity, we can only go as far as the verses will allow us to go. I understand that we say God is manifest in the flesh. All we have to say to that is amen. We don't have to further explain it and put it in more modernized terms. We just say amen. The Word was God. Amen. The Word was with God. Amen. You know, you don't have to fully understand it and give that to a lost person. We feel the burden to take all the stuff that God has shown us, being the spiritual man, and we try to relate it to somebody who's not up to par with us. But the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we don't attempt to explain and not even all understand, but just believe and admit what the Bible says is true.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So we're coming up on these names. Now we're going to start again in Genesis 17. Genesis 17. As we left off, we saw that God appeared to somebody in the Old Testament, Jacob. And Jacob calls him God. So what we're going to do now in lesson three in designating the Trinity. All right. Now, I picked this word mainly because it's a D-E, but also to keep going. Designation, to mean that it is the choosing or naming of someone to an official position. Okay. In other words, just to put it in its place. And throughout the Bible, we see different names and titles attributed to God, specifically to Jesus Christ, that will help us get more insight into the designation of the Trinity. We've seen that Jesus Christ has been exalted and the fullness of God rests in Him. Now we're going to see all the names associated with Him, and it's going to give us more insight into some of these titles. All right, some of these titles in designating the Trinity. Because the study of the Trinity is the study of God, and the study of God runs you right into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, Genesis 17, we'll start in verse 1. It says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, just like my father-in-law, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He says, I am the Almighty God. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So you see a similar pattern. Do you remember last week? He appears to Jacob. He changes his name. He gives him a blessing. He's talking about a covenant. It's a similar pattern. So the first appearance, where's my marker? All right, the first appearance you have to Abram. Now, I'm just going to put his name as Abraham. But remember, to be technical, it would be Abram. All right, the next one, turn to Genesis 26. Genesis 26, the next person you see the Lord or the Almighty God appear to is Abraham's son, Isaac. Verse 24, it says, and the Lord appeared, you see it, unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. So we see now he's appeared to his father Abraham. Now he appears to Isaac. And as we saw last week, you've heard me mention it a couple of times, he appears to Jacob. And he changes his name to what? Israel. That's right. And it's in Genesis 32, 24 through 30. Now, the next appearance after this, you've got Abraham, you've got Isaac, Jacob, and we're going to come up on one of these first titles of God. Turn to Exodus chapter 6. The next person he appears to is a man by the name of Moses. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall I let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Okay, so the first title we're going to see is Jehovah. And you see it's all caps. Now, I spent a good bit of time in lesson one explaining how progressive revelation, you could say that, but also throughout the Bible that there's more understanding and more light given as time goes on. And so we see now there's a name that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promised seed, the blessed nation, the covenant that God's keeping with, they don't even know him by this name yet. And so there's a whole three generations that don't even know him by this name and more, Jehovah. And the first reference you're going to see is Exodus chapter 6, what's that, verse 3. And then you'll have Psalm, we're not going to turn here, 83:18, I think it's Isaiah 12:2, and then we'll just say Isaiah 26:4. All right, so it's mentioned four times in the Bible, four times. Another name that you'll come on if we just start studying titles, remember, the pattern of this study is that if a Christian just picked up the Bible and started just reading through it and noticing stuff, okay? I'm not just trying to interject stuff, but the next title you'd see is Jah. Just J-A-H. It's only mentioned one time in the Bible. One time in the Bible. And I believe Psalm 68:4. I got it wrote down. I don't know all this stuff from memory, okay? Don't be impressed with this. I got it wrote down right here. All right. Psalm 68:4. There's another name you'll see. After this, you'll see this. All right. Again, all caps, God. Now, it's mentioned 310 times in the Bible. 310, and those references are these. No, I'm just kidding. 3 I enjoyed that one. That was fun. All right, 310 times. Now, this is what I want you to notice. Jehovah four times, but every one of them is exclusively Old Testament. Old Testament. So zero New Testament references. Jah, out of the one, just one in the Old Testament. So it'd be zero in the New Testament. Now, we're looking at some of these designations to get insight. Remember, that period right here in the Old Testament where Jesus Christ shows up, that whole life where he's on there, there's more cults, there's more misunderstandings of while God's on earth in the body of flesh, there's an incredible misunderstanding there. But the Bible's going to give us some insight into this. Out of these 310 references, right, only one of them is in the New Testament. One New Testament reference. And we looked at it. You remember Paul in Acts 17, he's preaching to the Athenians. You remember this, the first reference of the Godhead. He says that he comes up on an altar and they're worshiping there. Of all the different gods that they're worshiping, there's one set aside just in case. And it says, to the unknown God. And it's in all caps. The only time this one transfers over to the New Testament is in Acts 17:23. That's where you see it. And it's to that unknown God. That unknown God. Now, here's another one. You're going to be familiar with this one. We've seen it a few times in these passages. This is the person who appears unto them. He goes by the name Lord. 6,472 times in the Bible. and I've looked at every one of them. Don't be impressed. If you read your Bible through one time, you've looked at them too. Yeah. You ever think about that? Every Bible reference you've ever heard, if you read through your Bible one time, you've looked at all of them. You might not know them as much as, you know, I can relate to that. But regardless, you'll know them. Now, that's mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. Out of all those, this carries over, and you see it in the New Testament 5 times. But before we get into those verses, because that's going to really explain why those carry over, and you're going to see a doctrine that's associated with those in the New Testament. But before we do, we're going to look at the Old Testament usage of this word. We looked at it a few times, but we're going to notice, you ever see in the New Testament where one of the writers will quote from the Old Testament, right? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at a couple Old Testament passages and compare them in the New Testament where they're quoted again. And we're going to notice if there's any changes, any differences, and it'll try to build up some of this groundwork, right? We've done this pattern before. So the first Old Testament passage I want you to grab is Deuteronomy chapter 6. And just a tip, if you want to do this, if you've got somebody beside you, let them do the Old Testament or New Testament. You do the other one if you want to have a free hand. If you're like me, I don't really want to, like, share. You know what I mean? So Deuteronomy 6, and the other one would be Mark 12. But if you got somebody beside you that you don't hate, and you'll have them look at one of the references, or you do hate them but you agree to work together, I mean, either one will be fine. Deuteronomy 6 and Mark chapter 12. All right, Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 4. This is what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. See it? All caps, Lord. Now, Mark 12, look at verse 29. Somebody just asked Jesus Christ, what is the greatest commandment of all? Verse 29, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you notice it's changed. It's changed. So the first one we see, Deuteronomy 6, 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then in Mark 12, 29, we see it's lowercase. So the casing's changed this one time. It's pretty interesting. Now, take your Old Testament reference, go to Isaiah 61. And your New Testament reference, get Luke 4. Isaiah 61. We're going to do a little bit of comparison, because I could just tell you what the differences are. You know what I mean? I could just tell you what it is. You know, we could just come up and just start picking out problems and say, this is what it is, this is what it ain't. But you need to see it. You need to see it. What did I say? Luke 4. All right, so Isaiah 61. Is there Isaiah 61? Give me a sec. Brother Lee said, yeah. He's right. All right, Isaiah 61. Verse 1, it says, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. You see that all caps, God is upon me? Because the Lord, all caps, hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, Luke 4, Jesus Christ, as it was his custom, he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he's going to do a reading. And he grabs the book of Isaiah in verse 17. In verse 18, it says this. This is quotation. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Notice he left something out. That all caps, God. One of these references right here. Now, it's in the New Testament, but he leaves it out right there. Let's keep going. Luke 4. Because he hath anointed me, he. But in Isaiah 61, it says, the Lord. All caps, Lord. So now, not only is it lowercase, but now he just removes all caps, God, and all caps, Lord, out of it. Look at verse 19 of Luke 4. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, look at Isaiah 61, verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, all caps. So you see, he removes two of them, and then he changes one of them. We see they're lowercase. So there's definitely something going on here, right? Wouldn't you say? Let's look again. Your New Testament reference is just going to be Luke 3, right there. And the Old Testament is going to be Isaiah still, but go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. The quotation we're about to see is about a voice crying in the wilderness. And it's not a baby without milk. It's a voice crying in the wilderness, and that voice is John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And he's preparing the way for somebody. So let's look at Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 3. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So whoever this voice is preparing the way for, he's the Lord and he's God. Now look at Luke 3, verse 4. "As it is written in the book of the words of Esaias the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So it changes it again. It changes it again. God becomes his and Lord becomes Lord. Look at verse 5 of Luke 3. That matches verse 4 of Isaiah 40. "Every valley shall be exalted." You see that. Now verse 6 of Luke 3. "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." That matches Isaiah 40, verse 5. "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it." So we're seeing these titles that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there's definitely some differences going on. Sometimes it removes it. Sometimes it changes it. Sometimes it rearranges it. And keep right here in Isaiah 40, but now go to John chapter 1 with your New Testament reference. Now, if you remember, they're gospel writers. There's one of them that is said to have more revelation than the rest of them. And he writes this book for a different purpose than the rest of the Gospels. And he tells you that. So in John chapter 1, when he gives this account, notice what he does. John chapter 1, verse 23. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." Now, if you'll compare that to Isaiah 40, he takes the two statements, prepare the way and make straight, and he flips them. And the make straight, that is a reference to God. He puts that onto the Lord. Make straight the way of the Lord. Because John knows that this Lord and this God and this man, they're all the same. They're all the same. Now, the other writers do too, but John is infused with some of that Pauline doctrine, as we've seen. And so that's what's going on. Now, you're still in Isaiah. We're just getting some information right now. Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 7. And in the New Testament, you'll be Matthew chapter 1. We're getting some information before we come back and deal with this New Testament Lord. So Isaiah chapter 7, you're going to see another prophecy fulfilled in the life of Christ. And Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." That really reminds me of the wording in Genesis 22 when he's talking about God will provide himself a lamb. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel. Now watch how the New Testament adds some more information to this word. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 23. This is the same quotation. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. So just as in the New Testament we see Paul and John has some information. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, some of these titles, we're seeing new names arise. Because see, there's three mentions of Emmanuel in the Bible. 7:14 of Isaiah and 8:8. And the third reference, you find the definition of Isaiah of Emmanuel given. It's God with us. And just as John's preparing the way of the Lord, making straight the highway for our God, God is showing up. Okay? And the one we looked at up here, Deuteronomy 6:4, "The Lord our God is one Lord." Isn't that what it says? Yet it changes it in the New Testament. And so the one coming is the lowercase Lord, capital L, but then O-R-D, Lord, he's showing up. So there's a difference there. And we're about to see that difference defined. Okay? So you're in Matthew chapter 1. Just look at the first verse of Matthew 1. It says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Okay? The son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, these New Testament references, you can get one of them in your hand. Get Matthew 22:44. We're going to learn some stuff about this Lord, this son of David, this son of Abraham. And Old Testament, I want you to get Psalm 110. We've got some background information. Now we're coming back to this title, Lord. And we're going to see the five times in the New Testament and what the significance is. Psalm 110. Psalm 110. All right, verse 1, it says this. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Do you see in the Old Testament it differentiates between who those are? The Lord said unto my Lord. Now in Matthew 22, Jesus Christ pulls from this quotation. And he makes a point with it. And this is critical. To understand this point is to understand the two natures of Jesus Christ. And then every verse throughout the gospel that could be confusing to anybody about the Trinity is laid out right here in this principle. Matthew chapter 22, look at verse 41. It says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. Man, I wish I could preach like he could. Verse 42, he says, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? It's a good question. He says, they say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. So he shut him up. But this is what he said. Now we saw in Matthew 1:1, this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Right? It comes out right and says he's the son of David. But now he's pulling from the Old Testament and he's saying, but how is Christ the son of David if David himself calleth him Lord? It's the two natures. You see, Jesus Christ in his human form, he's absolutely the son of David. But he's reminding them and showing them, but over here on the other hand, I'm not the son of David. I can't be. David calls me Lord. It calls me Lord. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now what you have in Acts chapter 2 is Peter pulls from this quotation as well, this Psalm 110 quote, because four out of the five references in the New Testament that you're going to find have to do with that Old Testament quotation. These three are similar accounts in the Gospels that we just read, where he's dealing with the Pharisees about the Lord said unto my Lord. Then this next one, this fourth one we see is in Acts 2. 34 through 36. We'll read verse 33. He says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Lord and Christ. That's who he makes him. So if we follow these designations, we see that it comes to Jesus Christ and he's made him Lord and Christ. Now we've already seen, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we see this Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. And we see that he took on the form of flesh, the likeness of men. And he humbled himself and was obedient unto the death of the cross. But then it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. So there's a temporary break in the Trinity, and there's just no way around it, to where he was never born man in the Old Testament, but once he does, the Godhead was different forever. Forever. Okay? The Lord I change not. That's in character. Absolutely, whenever he's on earth, he does not change God, but the element of man is now added to the Trinity temporarily. Now, I don't have to understand all that, but it says God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. I must believe that. And so while he's on earth, you see a designation given to him is Lord, but it's not all caps. It's the lower one. Now, this is the one that showed up according to all those Isaiah prophecies. Now, turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. You see the last mention the last mention of this New Testament, all caps, Lord. The Bible doesn't set out to prove that Jesus Christ is God. He'd done that while he was on earth multiple times. And we're going to look at a reference here later. But positionally, these designations, remember, it's the choosing or naming of someone to a position. So we see that there's Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, but the Godhead himself decides who's going to be Lord and who's going to be Christ. And we've just seen that it's Jesus Christ. He's been exalted. He said, you're at my right hand temporarily until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Until I make the enemies thy footstool. Now look at Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath. Remember this title that we started with? Of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the final designation, when Jesus Christ, he's humbled himself, that's over. Yep. And he's sitting at the right hand temporarily, but eventually there's going to be a day where that's over. And it's right here. And at the end of it, the conclusion of it all is that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord. It doesn't say he's God of gods. It's already established he's God. But the designation he's getting, he's Lord and he's Christ. Do you know that Christ is only in the New Testament, that word Christ? It's mentioned 555 times, the number of death. Christ is six letters. It's a man that's coming and he's meant to die. The first and last mention of Christ is in the first verse of the New Testament and the last verse of the New Testament. This is the book of the generation of, and it says, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then Revelation 22:21, it ends, it says, the grace of our Lord, Jesus Christ, be with you all. Amen. So throughout the Bible, you see that this Jesus Christ, he goes down, he humbles himself, but in the end, he rises back up and he becomes the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Paul uses this designation for him more than any other. Peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. See, his name is Jesus Christ. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, I didn't spend time on it, but that other title you would see in all caps. See, Jehovah doesn't make it in the New Testament. Neither this. There are six New Testament references of all these titles. And there's another one that shows up and it's in all caps. And it's Jesus. And it's mentioned six times. Now six of these make it. And then six of these. Of all these, none of them make it. And it's six. It's to tell you and it's to show you this Jesus, number five. Six, number of man. He's showing up and his plan is to die. Just as Jehovah that we saw. He shows up, he says, they never knew me by this name and I'm going to deliver my people. I shall save my people from Egypt. Jesus shows up and it says, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's in the saving business and he's doing well. He's doing very, very well. Now we're going to look at one last designation. Exodus chapter 3. Because see, studying the Trinity, we see that the Bible breaks it down into three. And then it brings them back together in one. And that one is Jesus Christ. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? It's just like a theme throughout the Bible. What's his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. He said, this is my name. You're going to call me I am that I am. I am appears three times in that. I am that I am. And then later on he says, I am have sent you. Three times. Three times. None of them are in the New Testament. That references Exodus 3:14. Now, turn to John chapter 8. And this is where we're going to finish up. Again, Jesus Christ is dealing with some independent Baptists here. John 8, verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Remember, he appears unto Abraham. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, what do we see? I am. Amen. That I am shows up. But you see, it's changed a little bit. So throughout the Bible, we're seeing that these titles, it's showing you that throughout the Old Testament, coming into the New Testament, a change takes place. Now, we don't have to think about that too long. We absolutely see that there's a change taking place. And this Old Testament to the New Testament, we've seen it in the Godhead. That term Godhead is exclusive to Paul the Apostle, and it's mentioned three times. We see that Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is 90 times. It's all New Testament. We saw this. Word is seven times. It's all New Testament, and only the Apostle John uses it. And then we see that term Father 260 times, all in the New Testament except one. In Isaiah 9, verse 6. Remember? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's the only reference to Father in the Old Testament, because he's not a father until his son is born. And so we see that change throughout the New Testament. And now Jesus Christ, although he was made a little lower than the angels, we see that now, wherefore God has also highly exalted him. And he's back to Lord and Christ. And of all the names that he could have on his vesture when he comes back, I mean, it could be, I'm better than everybody. You know, it could be whatever. But the title, the ultimate title that God seems to give Jesus Christ, that'd be, I mean, he gets all authority, is Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we say the Lord Jesus Christ, that's his name, Jesus. And it means he shall save his people from his sins. But his position is Lord. And whenever he comes on earth, what the role he fulfilled was Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ, we see that a name, we see a position, we see a role, we see all of it. And so to say that the Lord is coming back is just as important and just as vital as when they said the Lord was coming the first time. Yeah. So the most important designation you're going to see throughout the Bible put on anybody is on the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is absolutely that I am. Yeah. And he's Jesus. And he's Lord. And he's God. He's Jah. He's Jehovah. That's it. It's him. Amen. It's him. So as we've seen, the designation of the Trinity, the conclusion is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming back. And he's coming again. Amen. All right, let's pray. All right, God, thank you for your study. I ask that you will bless the Sunday morning preaching. God, bless Brother Lee as he preaches tonight. And God, as he goes out, I ask that you will be with him on his ministry. And that we'll support him in prayer and help him out however you can. God, thank you for him being here and keep them safe as they go. And God, thank you for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.